Blog Talk Radio.
Reality Radio Entertainment presents Behind the Curtain with your host, Kathy Barrett.
Welcome to Behind the Curtain, a show about life and how we travel down the not-so-yellow brick road of it. I'm Kathy Barrett, and I hope you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes with me as I reveal what's behind the curtain this week. Like seeing a painting or a photograph that moves you, I hope that in each show you'll see a reflection of yourself in our guests and in their stories, and that the information provided will support and inspire you as you travel down your own journey in life. So welcome to the show today, the Akashic Records. Our special guest is June Brott, and June channels the Akashic Record insights and has studied with teachers, both physical and non-physical, for over 30 years in numerous different modalities. June offers monthly workshops and private consultations and has clients throughout the United States and in Europe. You can find out more information about June by going to akashicjune.com. I'm going to spell that out for you, A-K-A-S-H-I-C-J-U-N-E, all one word, .com. Welcome, June. Lovely to have you on the program today.
Thank you for having me, Kathy.
Well, let's start, I thought, by defining what the Akashic records are. And I thought, well, let me first take it from Wikipedia, which seems to be everyone's reference point these days. So, first of all, Akasha is a Sanskrit word, it says, meaning sky, space, or ether. And the Akashic records is a term used in theosophy and anthroposophy to describe a compendium of mystical knowledge encoded in a non-physical plane of existence. Boy, that's a mouthful. So, so June, can you please elaborate on this definition for us? Because I know you have a much more lovely and user-friendly way to describe the Akashic records.
Well, first of all, I would have to agree with everything that was said there. Basically, I like to think of the Akashic Record as a vibrational record of every soul and its journey. And it provides us, each of us has an imprint on the Akasha. Akasha is the ether out of which all things are formed. We have a soul imprint of information. When we go into that imprint, we do receive information, but more importantly, we receive the energetic equivalent of that information. And that can move us through pretty profound shifts, in my experience.
And so, in a way, it's kind of like the universe's computer system.
Yes, I often tell my first-time clients, all right, we're sitting here in the computer files of the universe, and your words are going to be Google. Because that's pretty much how it works. The beauty of the Akasha is that it meets you where you are on your path. And where you are is pretty much well expressed through questions or concerns that you may present.
So in other words, this record is really a central storehouse, like you were saying, of all information of every person who has ever lived, basically.
Yes.
And then it's containing every word, feeling, thought, deed, intent that has really ever occurred at any time in history, whether it be past lives, present lives. Okay.
Yes. The Akasha holds the past, which I find is revealed to us, either past in terms of this life or previous lives. It is revealed to us if it is currently having an impact on you now, mm-hmm. and if that information will serve you. We do not go deeply into past stories. In my experience, they touch upon it if it will serve you. And then we move, because it's more about the now.
Mm-hmm.
The point sign of power is always now. And the other beautiful part of the Akashic Field is that we are sitting in a sea of potential futures.
I love that.
Yes, that's one of my favorite parts, actually, because how we respond moment to moment in our now largely determines what potential futures are available to us.
And all of this is so important because, you know, I just recognize this about myself, that when we get caught up in the day-to-day stress of life, that I find that all of a sudden I get very disconnected from my original nature of peace. I move out of the soul consciousness state and more into ego, and that's when I always get into trouble. For me, it's like falling off the spiritual wagon, if you will.
But you notice it.
Yes, I notice it.
Notice it. And that's the important part. Because when we feel that we are moving out of balance, or we're in a place where we feel like we're butting our head against a wall, then that is, think of it as a signal to say, okay, let's shift back to essence of who I am in truth.
Absolutely. Well, in terms of your own life story, what was your original career path, and what were the circumstances that led you into this field of work?
Well, oddly enough, I could have never predicted I'd be sitting here with you today or doing this work, but I grew up in a military family. I was a big fan of The Rational Mind, which is lovely. But anyway, I got a degree in food chemistry and nutrition, and then became enthralled with the microbial world. So I got a master's in microbiology. This sort of plummeted me, not plummeted, but it led me to New York to teach at the Culinary Institute of America, where I set up their food science program. And from there, long story short, I was visiting New York City one day and was approached by an agent to begin modeling. And
so not surprising, judging your photographs, yes.
Well, you know, it's strange, Kathy, the way things happen. But anyway, I went to New York, I went to Paris, I went to Italy, and I was involved in that career on many levels as a spokesperson with print shows, whatever, for quite a while. And I have to say, at one point, I was saying to one of my spiritual teachers, why am I doing this work? It seems so superficial. I maybe shouldn't be doing this. And at that point, that teacher said to me, you know, walking to the grocery store can be spiritual.
Oh, wow.
And that was a big one for me.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big one for all of us. It is what we bring to whatever we are doing.
Do. Wow, that really is a very, very powerful statement. And then so while you were doing all these things, though, there was kind of a calling to you to march more down the spiritual path. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Did you doubt it when it first, how did it first call to you, and did you doubt it, and what was your process?
Actually, yes. The spiritual path has been a continuum through these different careers, and I would have to say in my early 20s, I began having what I would call interdimensional communication or experiences that led me to feel that either I was going crazy or there was more going on in the world than I had thought. And I think the one that was maybe the most significant is that for a week I was catapulted into what I call a flow experience. I don't consider myself a big worrier anyway, but during that week, it was a real sense of no energy being devoted to any sort of worry, anxiety, or future projection.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was I found myself in this sea of synchronicity and flow. I remember, and also a sense of tremendous amount of energy that became available to me because it was not being consumed with worry, anxiety, etc. Even though, as I said, I never thought of myself as a big worrier. And I remember thinking, what am I going to do with all this energy? And the message came, you give it out. And I think since that time, since that glimpse, that really propelled me toward that. I want that. That's what I was thinking. What was that? I don't even know how it happened. And I have to say that I do think this work does help us shift into that, what I call flow, where grace is, we are actually moving in a sea of grace and we're allowing space for that to happen.
That sounds so beautiful. I'm sitting here going, I want that.
Me too. I don't have it every minute. For sure.
And but I'm sure everyone listening would want that. I mean, it just sounds like the perfect place to be. It's that's really great. Thank you for sharing that.
Early motivational experiences, I would call it.
And so what kind of training did you do to become a counselor of the process?
Specifically the Akashic process?
Yes.
Okay. I had received several Akashic sessions myself, and in one of those sessions, the masters and teachers suggested, they said you would take to this work like a duck to water.
Mm-hmm.
Those were their exact words. And at that point, the woman that I was working with said, I would be more than happy to teach you, and I began studying with her. So I went through deep studies, first working in my own records, then working with others, then various advanced studies.
And then you also do some other work. Can you talk a little about that?
One of the other teachers I worked with is Dr. Richard Bartlett, who teaches matrix energetics. And I find that the two modalities combine very well. Matrix energetics, I would basically say, how would I describe it? I would say positioning yourself to access potential. And because in an Akashic session, in the Akashic field, as I said earlier, we are sitting in this sea of potential futures, I find that it is quite useful to employ matrix energetics to access some of those potentials for people and hold a state. It's about holding a state of potential.
It sounds like the perfect combination. And we are going to take a little break. We're going to hear a song called If Only, and it's from the Flying Free CD by Bliss with Lucinda Drayton singing, and Andrew Blissett is part of the group, writer and arranger of all the music. And so we will be back, and we're going to continue to speak with June about the Akashic records and get into more of how the process works and what we can determine from the process and take back into our lives and what the benefits are. So we'll be back with you in a second. Stay tuned. This is If Only by Bliss. Thank you.
eagles will be dreamers, and jokers will be fools. We're running round in circles, where are we running to? If only I could see the things you see in me too. If only I could believe the things we hold inside are true. Did you watch the sky?
We are back and speaking with June Brott, a counselor of the Akashic Records. You can reach June by going to her website, which is www.akashicjune.com. So, June, what would a person have to do to prepare for a session?
Well, because a session, an Akashic session, is a soul-level resource, it is not a divination tool necessarily. We can look at potential futures, but there are other systems out there I would say are probably more suited for that. So for preparing for this type of session, I ask people to look deeply at what is right in front of them right now in their lives and how they would like to proceed in their life from a soul perspective. Now, the best way to do that is look at what's happening and how you feel about it, honestly. And so because when we look at what's happening and how we are reacting or responding to what's happening, how we are feeling, basically, that's a good place to start. So I have people just write down questions they have or areas that they want to look at, or sometimes they just talk about, okay, this is how I'm feeling. And then we go in and follow the information from that point and receive the guidance that can then, and the perspective that can then shift the individual into what I call conscious alignment with soul.
So
typically things work better from that point.
So well, that makes a lot of sense, because to just stop and say, okay, how am I feeling? And then it's amazing because most of us don't stop and ask that question. We're just kind of railroading through life, if you will. As I was talking about before, have our responsibilities and just almost running through life, and very rarely do we really stop and say, okay, let me take stock of what's happening. So, for instance, I'm just going to throw this out as an example for people if they haven't gotten it to this point. So I'm coming to you, and I'm coming in and say I'm experiencing a couple of different things. And first thing, I have some physical issues. So I talk about what those physical issues, you know, was some kind of health situation that seems to be plaguing me, and I don't even know what's wrong, and doctors can't figure out what's wrong. And then I want to see if the work that I'm doing is in alignment with my purpose here. So that would be an example of how we would begin the session.
Absolutely. And when we look at anything in the records, be it health, be it something that is happening, the masters and teachers typically go to level of cause first. And level of cause typically is inside of us, not outside of us. It is also a level that can be shifted. And even if it's a physical problem, there are some physical health problems that pretty much have a physical reason for being there, but I would say more often than not, there is an energetic pattern below that it is also very useful to begin working with, in addition to physical treatment.
And can you talk, expand a little bit about that? Because I noticed, you know, when I was reading your bio, you mentioned something about your husband having a health challenge that he went through. And just talk a little bit about how this work really is so wonderful for situations like that when it comes to the health, because it really separates what's going out, going on emotionally, and then, as you were saying, that energetic pattern, bringing that forth.
Yes, that was a real hands-on experience, Kathy. Because we are multidimensional beings, it only makes sense to address even physical concerns. In our case, it was a stage 4 aggressive lymphoma. To address it in a multidimensional way, which in fact is what we did. We worked with matrix energetics, dropping into the quantum level. We worked with homeopathics, which of course are vibrational. We worked with presence. We worked with non-resistance. These things came through the records and, believe me, were embodied like never before during that experience. We also did what we would call hardcore traditional physical treatment, chemotherapy. So these things can all be combined. And we had, by the way, what David's oncologist called a miracle.
Wow.
And so here we are, still moment by moment, as we all are. None of us are actually ever promised tomorrow in the physical, that is. And so the awareness that comes along with that is, hey, let's be here now. Let's make every moment a prayer, as the masters and teachers say. That's one of their lines, which means being very present. And what happens there is that a joyful state of being starts coming into our lives more and more, even if we're just sitting looking at a blade of grass.
Well, that is really wonderful to hear, and I like the concept of working with all of those different modalities, because really that's what it takes. It's never just one particular thing that's going to kind of heal us. We have to get underneath and find out, you know, what that genetic pattern is, what's going on emotionally. Are we in alignment with what we really, what our passion is? Because that plays into it as well. It was like yesterday, it was such a gorgeous day, and I was taking a walk, and I was up in the country. The first time in a long time where I just paused and looked around and took in the sound and took in all the visuals, and it was like the trees were having this enormous party. They were blowing this way and blowing that way. The sun was out. They were just having this massive celebration, and I couldn't help but to want to be a part of that, to say, this is so great. Listen to the sounds, you know, take a deep breath and the freshness of the air and just being surrounded by all that beauty. And again, I myself, you know, lose track of this. I have to constantly remind myself to slow down, you know, become present and get connected to that peaceful part of myself, you know, get to connected to the original place where, you know, I can enjoy right in front of me.
Absolutely. And to address the type A part of ourselves, I would like to say that what I've noticed is that this type of moment where we gather ourselves in, out of the past, out of the future, into the moment, is one of the most powerful practical ways of getting out of our own way. Moving into the state that the masters and teachers call allow. And when we are in that state of allow, basically we are creating space for grace to move in and assist us.
That's, again, beautiful. And so let's talk about, can you explain who the masters are when you refer to the masters? Just share with people what you're speaking to.
Yes, good question. Well, the process I use, and there are different processes for accessing the Akashic Field, I might mention, but I use a sacred prayer, and we connect with the masters, teachers, and loved ones. The masters are not individualized. They are a collective presence. They have not embodied physically ever. Basically, the masters are specifically connected to the individual's record. They sort of survey your evolution, your soul evolution throughout time. The teachers, some have embodied, some have not, and they tend to be more task-specific. So, for example, the teachers come through and may be speaking to us about self-acceptance, compassion. Whatever particular awareness is really up for us at that moment, there are specific teachers, they again are not, specific teachers that work with these specific awarenesses. They are also not individually identified. They are a collective. The lords of the Akashic Records basically are a collective that maintain the sanctity of the records. So you can't just go in there and get anything you want, necessarily. They maintain what is released from that field and what is not, and to whom.
That's really fascinating. It sounds like they're running quite an operation there.
Yes, they run a tight ship. I might add that this information historically was available to sages and saints, maybe. Mm-hmm. And what is happening now on the planet is that we truly are shifting into more consciously interdimensional beings, and this information is available to us.
Well, that brings up a good point, because Edgar Cayce, who was known as the sleeping prophet, if you will, and the father of holistic medicine, was one of the most documented psychics of the 20th century. And from 1877, I think it was, till 1945, over 40 years, he gave over 14,000 psychic readings, of which many were Akashic records. This has been going on for a long time. This is also something that is accepted by all kinds of cultures and runs through all kinds of religions, in terms of, it's called what, the Book of Knowledge originally?
Book of Knowledge, Book of Life. It is referred to in virtually all the major religions.
Mm-hmm,
and yes, Edgar Cayce was was in a trance when he accessed the Akashic Record information. That's one process. The process that I use is conscious channeling. Definitely altered state, but conscious channeling. It's what I do. It's also what I teach.
And so what kind of preparation do you yourself have to do to prepare for one of these sessions? I mean, are you going into a deep meditation or deeper meditation than normally? Or how does that process work? Can you explain it a little more?
Briefly, what I typically do is open my own Akashic Record and spend some time with the masters and teachers, not even necessarily asking questions, maybe just going for a walk. And also, I like to do toning, verbal toning, or listening to tones, sound therapy, crystal bowls. I find that's very effective for me to sort of get in the zone. And if I'm working with another, I always set the intention to be of service,
for
the highest good, well-being, and expression of that individual.
So how can, I know you touched on this, briefly when we began about the past lives, and it's only brought up if it's having some kind of present impact on our life. But how would a past life influence or impact someone's present life? Can you give us like an example for people?
Yes. I mean, there are so many ways. Many times it's in the relationship arena.
Uh-huh.
Where you've got some kind of boo-boo going on with a family member or a friend or a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a dynamic that started in a past life, and say maybe at the core of that dynamic is the need for forgiveness, the awareness of forgiveness. And so the relationship continues, maybe in this life again, offering the opportunity to move into that particular awareness. So if many times what will happen is the masters and teachers will, it looks like a movie usually to me,
mm-hmm.
when they look at a past life, okay, this is what happened, this is the essence of what you were left with on the soul level from that experience, and this is how to move forward. Most importantly, this is how to move forward with this. Also, I've noticed people come in with gifts from past lives and things, and many times their first job will reflect those gifts. It's just something kind of second nature to them. And
mm-hmm.
then what I've noticed is they get a little bit, it's usually something they're really good at, but they kind of have a sense of been there, done that, and there's a calling to move into something that feels more expansive. And so often a past life will reflect, well, sure, you actually were, I was sitting with a man that was a small town minister where he went around, you know, and had supper at people's houses on Sunday and counseled. And anyway, that led to what he was doing in this life. And then, but what he moved into ultimately in this life was to be an energetic counselor.
That's really fascinating. And I guess it would have the same kind of impact if I know for myself sometimes in relationships I'll have a repetitive pattern where, you know, I feel like I'm attracting the same situation into my life over and over again. So how would the records help regarding that?
Well, relationships are a beautiful way that mirrors are held up
mm-hmm.
for us. And yes, if we see a recurring pattern, then that's a real signal what's going on here. And when we notice that, for example, I can say years ago, there was a period where I was afraid to pick up the phone because everybody on the other end seemed to be draining me. And then I realized, wait a minute, this is a two-way street here. And I came into the awareness of how to bring myself into balance with in relation to others. It was huge. It was a huge thing, and I could honestly, many times those people that show up that bring us into a state of conflict are in fact soul partners.
Yes.
We think, people say, oh, I want to find my soul partner. We're usually surrounded by them.
That's great.
There's not just one. And many of those relationships are filled with conflict because they are powerful mirrors and they serve us, you know, so we're thinking, oh my gosh, this is so difficult. And meanwhile, on the soul level, it's like, oh, this is wonderful.
Exactly. And it's funny because my show next week is the mirror reflection, and that's what we're going to be talking about. So it'll be an extension of this, really, in a smaller way. But it's very true. It's like if we look at every circumstance that way, whether it's some kind of a challenge, a health challenge, or another different life obstacle or relationship issue, anything that comes into our life is really an opportunity to learn about ourselves.
Absolutely. And I have to say that's one of the big recurring truths that comes through the records, for sure. In their exact words, they say, the void becomes the portal. If there is something that feels like a void or a black hole or a challenge, you can be sure that's where the next awareness is, or it wouldn't be there for you.
Right, exactly. And so what can a person expect to come out of a session with? What kinds of understandings?
You know, it varies.
Mm-hmm.
What I like the best is that people leave many times with a very expanded state of what is possible for them.
Mm.
And that can change everything, because we tend to walk around with a thermostat, an individual thermostat of what that gauges what we believe is possible for us. So if that gets blown open, I love to see that. A couple of weeks ago, a woman left here. Usually people walk out and they're feeling pretty good. This woman walked out, she was angry.
Really?
Angry. Mm. Not at me.
Yeah.
Just angry. But you know what? That anger had been running her life for a long time, under the covers.
Wow.
And it came to the surface. And I would say she went through a process for a good week or 10 days. And then, deep release.
So in other words, she had been suppressing all this anger and didn't even know it, didn't even recognize it in her day-to-day existence, that kind of thing?
Yeah, not so much. She wouldn't have called it that.
Mm-hmm.
She was just noticing that a lot of areas were stuck.
Ah, okay. Well, I know for myself, I mean, you were very wonderful. I had one of these sessions, and as I mentioned, I feel like I can have 40 more. There's so much more information I need to know. But I took away from the reading such a better understanding of my own nature and kind of how I fit into the scheme of things around me. Before, there was a void. There would be this disconnect. There would always be this feeling of there's something not right. Am I, you know, or me questioning myself and in a way that was not positive, was not healthy. And now I have more of an acceptance of who I am, which is really amazing.
It's huge. Which is huge, because the things that tend to put us in a stuck place would be judgment,
mm-hmm.
Of ourself and others. So therefore that self-acceptance piece, ourself, others, and situations. That's one of the big ones. So I'm glad that moved for you. Also, resistance to what is. Can keep us stuck.
Yes.
And if we move out of resistance into allow, as I mentioned before, then what that tends to do is open up the situation so that grace can actually have some room to get in there.
That makes sense. So would you say if I'm in a place, let's say, if I'm in a place of resistance, then I'm attracting all that resistance around me into my life? The people I'm surrounding myself with, the situations I'm surrounding myself with?
Yeah. Typically, whatever we're resisting, we pull to us even more.
Wow.
It's magnetic. But the good news is that when we shift, and we can do this from moment to moment, when we shift into the higher intelligence of the heart, that's hugely magnetic. And that begins pulling to us also that which we need, that which feels like synchronicity, where the exact book you need shows up, the people you need to meet, and along with that experience comes ease, which I think we can all use.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's I love that visual of the heart. I mean, it makes so much sense, and really it's very easy to get to a place of love, I believe, you know. So if that's the place to start to generate all these things happening, I think that's very exciting, because we can all do that very simply.
We definitely can, and it's not the emotional heart, it's not the chocolate and roses heart.
Yeah.
It is truly the sacred heart, and I'm so glad it's so magnetic. But that is that piece where we really can get out of our way and move from making it happen to allowing it to happen, and really begin co-creating with the universe in a conscious way, where it becomes something that feels more like a dance.
Very, very lovely. Well, tell us about your workshops and what's next for you. What's coming up?
Well, basically, the workshops are once a month, usually about the last Sunday of the month, usually. They are at the Sage Center for the Healing Arts in Woodstock. They have a website that lists all their workshops. And those workshops are experiential and pretty lively, actually. I access the Akashic Record for the group gathered that day. And actually get people's feet wet with regard to accessing their own record. And so we're all doing that simultaneously. People are asking questions. The masters and teachers are providing input. And that's what the workshops are. Whoops. And then I'm starting an Akashic Record Level 1 class and then Level 2. And I'm working on a book. I believe it will be called Dancing with God.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. Love that.
It's about joy.
That's really great. And I am definitely interested in those classes as soon as I clean up my act, my soul print.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that, right? Well, I want to thank you so much, June Broad, for sharing your insights and wisdom with us today. I've had the pleasure, again, of your counseling me through this process, and it was truly a transformative experience, and I would recommend it to anyone. I'd love for you to come back on the program, maybe take calls and continue this conversation. Keep in touch with us about everything you're doing, because we'd like to continue to be a part of your path.
Oh, thank you, Kathy, for having me. You have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much, June. So next week, we have Joan Jacobs, and the show is The Light Within. Joan is a holistic healer with 25 years' experience practicing and teaching holistic medicine. Joan is driven to teach others the power of inner healing. It's been great to have you along on this journey with me. This is Kathy Barrett sending you a virtual hug from behind the curtain. I hope you'll tune in next week. Peace, everybody.